3, 2, 1.
Here we go. Joined now by Willie Mair and Johnny Greville to briefly look ahead to the 2022 hurling season, which will get underway this weekend in the respective pre-season competitions. Firstly, lads, happy new year to you all. Coming to you first, Johnny, obviously the pre-season competitions are back. We're only talking in the football last week on the podcast. We were just talking about the value of these pre-season competitions. Do you feel there's any value really for counties heading into these competitions?
It's a difficult one because, you know, the college scene is flat out as well, and the Fitzgibbon Cup is basically a pre-season competition for most inter-county squads because, you know, 75% of the squads are inter-county players, either from under 20 up to senior. So it's hard for inter-county teams to get the balance right, I find anyway, in the pre-season competitions, because generally you don't have, say, your mainstay or your top players. But, you know, most times the pre-season competitions are for the players to put their hand up for the league. And I'd find this, you know, with the way the season's gone now, the split season, you've got 35 or 36 weeks, and the amount of work you need to get done to get players up to speed, you know, having maybe 40, 50% of your squads not joining maybe till 2 weeks before, or sometimes, you know, not even, you know, being ready for the first round of the league or available for the first round of the league, it's tough. And especially now with the new format of the split season, every county manager is going to want their pound of flesh. And unfortunately, with the talented group of players that nearly every county has now, they're stretched very thin across the board, and sometimes it catches up, but especially the younger players, because the workload is massive. And then the need to get the balance right for that is really crucial pre-season, you know.
Willie, Johnny mentions the younger players. Like, if you're thinking of younger players around this time of year, it's probably nearly their most busiest time when you take in Fitzgibbon. You take in the start of the county, and especially if it's you're a new player, I suppose, in this county panel in your first year.
Yeah, I think it's a very testing time because you're being pulled in so many different directions with so many different managers and personalities. The county manager, I think as Johnny said it there, is looking for his pound of flesh because it's a short term, you know, in most cases, job, and you want to really make hay when you're in a position as an inter-county senior manager. So you can appreciate where the pressure comes from. But I think the player in the middle of all that is really under pressure. And I'd know it's a different discussion, but I can't understand why maybe Fitzgibbon isn't played before Christmas, maybe alleviate some of the stress on players. Same thing, because again, it's just to have a window and maybe, I suppose, even promote the game within third level institutions, have your Friday night games or whatever that is in the big GA stadiums when there's little going on. I think it would be a fantastic advent for that competition, having played it and won it with WIT back in the day. So yeah, it's really tough. And with the different competitions that are starting now, it's a different type of hurling then as well, as regards, like, the ground is so wet. I know we've been blessed with unusually mild weather, but it's still winter hurling, and I think it's a very difficult one for a young player to showcase his talents to ultimately look down the road for Croke Park on the hardest of sod.
Would it have been enough, Johnny, do you think, maybe just to play the Fitzgibbon, because, like, I think it's 29th or 5th and 6th of February, the leagues will get started, and then you're thrown in. Like, if you're thinking later on the year, you'll have the round robin in the Joe McDonough and Leinster and Munster championships as well.
Yeah, no, it is, like, and Willie's right. There has to be a gap in the season for this competition, because, you know, it is huge prestige, and you know, players love playing it. And it's just, it needs its own platform where, you know, players are not being put under pressure, because, you know, we have to remember that nearly every inter-county squad is hugely competitive, and these players are looking over their shoulder saying, yes, I'm off playing at the top level for Fitzgibbon, but is another guy going to step in and do well in a league game you know, in the 6th or the 5th or 6th of February, and I'm under pressure for my spot come later in the year. So there's a lot of that, the mental side of things as well for players. So I definitely think there has to be a gap. Like at the moment, the way things are going with all the top level players, if you're looking at, say, a Leinster Club Hurling final in late November, you know, you're looking at the way things have gone this year, you know, it's very hard to find that gap at the moment to put that competition in and to give it the prestige it needs and put it on the pedestal it needs to be on, because it is a really top competition, and it's just really important to try and find somewhere for it. At the moment, the way it works, I don't think it's something that can work going forward. You know, the fixtures are out there now, and you know it's flat out now between now and the end of February, and you know the players, they get very little leeway, very little break, very little rest time. You know, it really is going to be up to the managers of both Fitzgibbon teams and intercounty squads to be able to manage those players' workload, so as that, you know, whatever team is looking, some teams have different goals. You know, the league could be their, you know, get out of a division into another division. You know, the championship could be the main goal for one team. So it depends on what team, you know, what the team's goals are for those players to be able to maybe get that time to blend in and to work their way into a squad then after being away with a Fitzgibbon group for maybe 5 or 6 weeks, you know.
And Willie, I suppose with the way things are going, I suppose, not to get into it too much, because I suppose people are hearing it everywhere with this new Omicron variant coming in, do you see maybe managers having, I suppose, putting together a larger squad? Because just with the way things are going, and I suppose the amount of people testing positive, you'd think they'll have to do something like that.
Yeah, possibly. I suppose it's the way Omicron is now, and the numbers that are there are being reported, I suppose the ones that are unreported, I think it'll pose a lot of very serious questions for leadership across different teams in the next while, because I don't know what they'll do, to be honest about it, Paul. I think we're 2 years down the road within the COVID nightmare, and it still hasn't. You know, we're still uncertain in where we're going, with the numbers going the way they are now. Hurling probably is rightly probably not the most important thing for people. We saw, I suppose, last weekend or on the second there, the Clare Waterford, the Munster Football League being called off. I could see a lot of that happening in the next few weeks, and it will be interesting to see how all that impacts then the National League, which starts in February.
It's a season of, I suppose, the split season as well this year, Johnny. Dáil-Éireann hurling final being in July. I'll put it to both of you first, obviously, since you're both involved with club teams. What's your plans now, Johnny, with Falls? Like, when do you go back, or when does it all kick into action, I suppose, because you don't want, I suppose, to have your team back too early either.
Yeah, I suppose it's difficult for club managers at the moment, because the last 2 years it's been extremely difficult as regards preparation, and you know you've missed probably the key part of the season, which is, you know, the early season, pre-season stuff, you know, as a collective group on the pitch or in the gym or whatever way you want to look at it. So that type of thing has been missing the last 2 years. So, you know, I think we're all looking forward to trying to get a full season in, and you know the championship might be a split season and the club championship probably, you know, late August, early September. But, you know, the foundations are laid now. And, you know, I think most clubs, you know, anybody that's still going, luckily enough, you know, the Ballygunners, Ballyhales, these crowd are still tipping along. But I'd say most clubs now are back doing a little bit. You know, with this current climate, it's hard to do anything. But you need to be laying those foundations to build for a league. Like here in Dublin, we're in Division 1 in the league. And it doesn't hold bars. You have to be up and running, especially like a team like Falls in Dublin, who are up and coming and have got a real good youth base and a really strong underage setup, and they're coming very strong. So we need to try and build on that, and you know we're putting in the groundwork now, because we need to have it done to be able to lay that foundation, so as that when we do come to the crux of things in July and August, that we're ready to rumble, you know.
And Johnny, just with Falls, like you mentioned, they're an up-and-coming club that are doing huge work, but how have you found it trying to reach that level? Because I suppose in Dublin, you still do have your standout clubs, I suppose, that are populated with numbers. You're in the Fianna's, Kilmacuds, Ballyboden, Coolas.
Yeah, I know. It's really, well, I've really enjoyed it, to be honest, since I came up. So this is my third year up here now, and And Willie's been up there, been up in Dublin a while as well, you know, over the years. And it's, I really enjoyed it. I've really learned an awful lot as a manager. You know, there is a gap, like, and it's the same in every county. You know, there's a gap between the top and the middle and then down to the bottom as well. So, you know, in Dublin, they've rejigged things a little bit this year. They've reduced the championship from 16 teams to 10, and they've made it'll make it a little bit more competitive across the three grades, which will be hugely beneficial for Dublin, for hurling in Dublin. And they're looking at the bigger picture now, I suppose, and the inter-county setup and trying to get that talent from each grade, because there's some super hurlers in every single grade in Dublin, you know, from senior right down to junior. You just need to find them, because the strength of numbers is brilliant, but sometimes you know, players get lost in that hole sometimes, and you know, that's the probably the negative side of having huge numbers, is that there is two or three talented players that might fall through the gap. And you know, at the end of the day, as you said, the inter-county squads will probably grow now because of COVID, and they'll get bigger, and the likes of Dublin probably need to be bringing in, you know, to have their 38 or 39 or whatever they have at the top, but they probably have another 25 or 26 that are not far off that underneath as well, and that's between 20 and senior. So, you know, it's huge. You know, the club hurling in Dublin is excellent, you know, especially tactically. And Willie, you know, I found it brilliant. And the Fianna have probably had the benchmark in Dublin. They were probably, you know, 9 points up in a semi-final and lost. It was, you know, their template of the way they played, they've probably taken it from Coola over the years and kind of made it into their own. And it was really interesting to watch, and, you know, something that I find very enjoyable in Dublin, you know.
Yeah.
And Billy, you're obviously involved with Bennett's Bridge again. Like, as Johnny mentioned, it's nearly difficult for club managers, I'd say, to know exactly when to start from.
Yeah, no, it's discussions that we'd be having with the management team in Bennett's Bridge now for the last, I suppose, couple of weeks. When is the right time to go? And I suppose we learned an awful lot last year in Dublin, and I suppose from my experience there, the league is very, very competitive. It's very important to clubs, and even my first year with Coola, we took it really seriously to try to create, I suppose, a squad of players that were you know, that were ready for when the county lads came back, and it served us very, very well, winning in the first year. So, like, it's Kilkenny's a little bit probably different that way. You look at Ballyhale, and they seem to peak at the right time all the time, i.e. quarter final, semi-final, final, and then their run starts. We caught them at the start of the league, part of the championship this year with Bennett's Bridge, but look, they were only kind of, I suppose, warming up, and that was a big learning for us. So I think the biggest thing with the top clubs, and again, having been involved with Coola and having seen the Fianna and Kilmacud and all these, I suppose, top clubs in Dublin, Ballyhale now with last year, is that just the physical preparation of the teams. And that doesn't, it takes time to get to that level as regards to really get the, I suppose, the gym work done and have it mixed with the type of hurling you want to play. Johnny mentioned how strong, I suppose, tactically Dublin club hurling is. And I would completely agree with him, because Ballyhale and Fianna were, you know, I've watched them a lot over the last 2 years, and yes, they were very unlucky not to win the county final this year, but it'll just tell you that, I suppose, the strength of the clubs, and the, I suppose, how good tactically they are. When you have Brooks, you know, ended up winning the county final, really, really strong championship. You have Coola, Ballyboden, you know, it's really, really good. It's good for, I suppose, for myself, and Johnny would probably agree with this, that the learnings across the different types of hurling and the different types of personalities, which allow, I suppose, you know, the game to flourish in different ways in different counties. But I suppose, to answer your question, I think, we're going to start in the next, I think, month. Just, and again, laying a physical base and trying to make it, I suppose, as enjoyable as possible for guys to be ready for when August, September comes, that they're, you know, they're physically at a level that they can perform. And that's what you want to do when you're preparing now. I think the split season is a fantastic, it really gives clubs the opportunity to really have players and work with them for that from August, September, depending on when county teams are out. But again, it's just, you know, it's about getting the group together. Sometimes the county players become a little bit lost to their club mates, you know, in the former way that the championships were run, with two or three games in April, and they're kind of coming back from a county situation. So I think it's, you know, the split season has been very, very good for club hurling. And I think, we're all learning as we go.
Willie, we were talking about Ballyhale off air obviously came up against them last year with Bennett's Bridge, and they look odds on to add another Club All Ireland title to their name. But as a manager, when you're preparing for Ballyhale, like, I suppose Colin Fennelly isn't involved with Kilkenny anymore, but it's still three Kilkenny forwards in a club forward unit. Like, what's it like to prepare for a juggernaut like that? Because just all over the field, and possibly now even getting probably more players called in to the Kilkenny panel when they do finish up as well.
Yeah, it's look, they're certainly the best club team I've ever seen as regards the level. Like, when you're preparing for them, it's you're preparing for nearly a county team, because as you said there, you have TJ, Colin Fennelly, Owen Cody as regards up front with Joey Cuddy, who hurled very well, particularly in the Kilkenny Championship, although he missed the Leinster final. Brian Cody, Ronan Corcoran, like, they're phenomenal. You haven't mentioned Adrian Mullen, who was, you know, a Kilkenny captain last year. You look at their backs; they have nearly five inter-county backs: Joey Holden, Darren Mullen in the full-back line, Shefflin, Reid, and Corcoran, and Dean Mason, a county under 20 goalie in the goal. So, like, you're preparing for a county team. So it's literally, I think, you're focusing on them, but I suppose you can't, and no one has come up with the right solution to answer your question as regards how do you deal with them properly. I don't think you can. I think you have to concentrate on yourself while acknowledging the threats that they have being everywhere. You saw the damage, I suppose, that Colin Fennelly did in Croke Park against the Ballacolla full back line. Absolutely. You know, just again, I'll go back to the physicality of the Ballyhale team, and I suppose that ties in with the amount of them that are on the county panel and the amount that could be called in. But they're physically a huge team, and they're so well conditioned. Brilliant hurlers, and I suppose we'll see. It'll be a big ask for Thomas's to come up with something to try and beat them. But I don't know. At the moment, and after that Leinster final display, you'd say Ballyhale are odds on.
Yeah, Johnny, it's like just looking at the club championship as well. The semi finals to come up, and the Munster club final, and the winner of that will obviously play Sláinte in the other semi final. But as Willie mentioned there, that performance Ballyhale gave just blitzing Clough Ballacolla, not giving them any hope in that Leinster final.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the crux of Croke Park as well. You know, you often say when you get to Croke Park, you know, and this goes back then to the physical preparation. You know, if you're preparing your team, you need that extra 3 or 4 yards you'll get in Croke Park that makes the Colin Fennelly a full forward and get extra 3 yards, whether it's the spatial awareness or whatever it is. Croke Park, just it's a big field, and it's you know, a club championship. You know, Ballyhale are just they're one of those teams that you know are going to produce the goods. Even, you know, when they're under the cosh in several games this year, they still came out on top, and as Willie says, in the club, like, they were slow starting and getting going, but when they got going, they got going. And, you know, to try and stop that unit, and especially, you know, St. Thomas's are on the road a while as well, and you know, they're good. I've seen them playing a couple of times, and you know, they're really well conditioned too. But sometimes the Galway teams, when they get to Croke Park, sometimes they find it tough, because, you know, they're sitting kind of waiting the long grass a long time for a big competitive game like that. You know, whereas Ballyhale have the games under their belt, and you know, no matter how many in-house matches or challenge matches you play, it doesn't prepare you for the heat of battle like that. So, you know, and then Ballygunner and Kilmallock, again, I think that's going to be, you know, Ballygunner have kind of nearly been there the last few years, getting there. You know, this is big for them. You know, they need to get across this one, and to be able to go in. Then Sláinte, like, you know, up at Derry, like, it's an absolute powerhouse of a club up there across all codes. So it's been a really good club championship, and I agree with Willie as regards the split season. It's really enjoyable to watch these games, especially in November and December. And, you know, the Ballacolla story is fantastic. Like, you know, like Kilmacud, again, from being in Dublin, you know, I would have probably backed Nafina to come out of Dublin, you know, and maybe I'd back them to go on and really give Leinster a good rattle. But again, it's just, you know, apart from Coola, teams that have come out haven't really grabbed the Leinster Championship by the scruff of the neck. But Ballyhale are always there, and, you know, they're waiting. And when you come up against a team like that, Clock Ballacolla is a fantastic season, and there's some great games. But I think myself, you know, it's probably Ballyhale are favourites for it. But if Ballygunner can get over the line in Munster, I think that, you know, they could be real challengers to Ballyhale eventually, you know, without dismissing anybody else across the border.
Willie, you mentioned Ballyhale obviously in pole position to win this Club All Ireland. Do you feel maybe it is the Munster champions, if they are to be beaten, will be between Kilmallock or Ballygunner that could dethrone Ballyhale?
Yeah, possibly. I watched the Munster semi-final with Kilmallock, and I watched both games. But I was very impressed with Kilmallock. I hadn't seen them playing like in a good few years, as regards, I suppose, with Napiershiek winning with Bally or Patrick Swell, being the top dogs in Limerick. Kilmallock after roaring back in, I give them a serious chance against Ballygunner. I think Ballygunner, look, they're on a mission. They've won six or seven championships in a row without. I suppose, you know, they want to win the All-Ireland. They want to win another Munster club. And I think they're on a mission to do that. So I think the Munster final is really, it'll be a really brilliant game with two traditional clubs, or two great clubs. And with Limerick hurling on the high it's on at the moment, I think Kilmallock will really fancy their chances there. I think the Sinéad Neill story, as Johnny said, I think very, unbelievable quality hurling team. Really, like they had Ballyhale at the pin of their collar, was it 2 years ago up in Armagh. I think, you know, if they get to that level again, they'll really fancy themselves as regards to get to the final, whoever they have to play in the semi-final. But I think it will, isn't club hurling great this time of the year as regards? You know, I've certainly, I suppose, not being able to go to, I suppose, matches with restrictions over the last while, but every Sunday, an absolutely quality game on. The Loughmore match against Ballygunner, albeit controversial, was fantastic. That Kilmallock was brilliant. The Leinster final, albeit the Clock Valley Colla story was a great story, and they met, as I said, arguably the greatest club team ever in the final. So I don't see anyone beating Ballyhale. I think they're well versed in peaking at the right times with the quality that they have, with the experience that they have, with everything that they have as regards that. That'd be very difficult to beat, particularly in Croke Park, as Johnny said, when the ball is, no matter what time of the year in Croke Park it is, the ball is hopping, and ultimately the best players will shine. And I just think Ballyhale have too many of those best players.
Johnny, Willie mentioned there, obviously, the Loughmore and Ballygunner game ending dramatically. And John Colley mentioned at the start of the year last year about maybe simulation creeping into hurling. Do you think it is something that's creeping into our game?
I think it is. I think management teams now at intercounty level are vast, and between psychologists and media men and all the rest of it, like they're trying to cover every single base, and game management is, whether we like it or not, it's there, and your teams do it, and it's something that I don't think we can stop. I don't think there's anything the referees can do about it. With all these new rules with the concussion, all the rest of it. So there's so many loopholes there now to kind of get around things. And slight diving, whatever you want to call it, if you want to put it whatever way you like, I suppose it's going to happen. And it's those fine margins that teams are looking for. That's that extra 1% chance of getting across the line, and teams are going to do whatever it takes to do that. And it might be look pretty to the spectator, but unfortunately, that's with the level we're at, we've a bunch of players who are amateur, but we've backroom teams and management teams that are all but professional, and they're going to look for the percentages, and whatever percentage they can gain, they're going to look for it. And that's the law of winning. You have to win at all costs now, and because, as Willie said earlier on, like the time frame is so tight, the success, you're deemed by what you win, not by performances. It's really down to results based now at intercounty level, and that's what management teams are going to do.
It's more so what we're seeing, really, players maybe diving into tackles or something. And as Johnny mentioned, it's more so game management. But do you think as well, like, it will be hard to try and cut out of our game?
I think it'll be very difficult. I, I, I suppose the big thing with the particularly that Lochmore incident was the referee getting the information from the sideline that something was after happening when probably something didn't happen. So I think you look at the quality referees out there, the Fergal Horgans, haven't played the game at a very, very high level, understanding, I suppose, the game a little bit, and that's what I suppose from a referee education piece, that the, you know, just I suppose understanding what happens in the game of hurling, and there has to be a certain feel for that. And I think, as I mentioned, Fergal as the prime example, understands the game and understands what goes on and at different moments. Yes, simulation has definitely significantly increased. But again, I suppose with that, a little bit just more common sense from you know if a lad is not even seriously injured, but you know if it's a serious belt, you know if it's a, like, days of I suppose lads butchering lads at different things in the game is over as regards hurling has become very sanitized in all its play. So I suppose my preference would be just to, I suppose, to ref it a little bit more, have a bit more feel on what's happening, understanding the game that little bit more, and understanding, like, the game of hurling is in a great place. So I think it's understanding that, like, the skill sets of all players, the physicality, the tactical nous of management teams and teaching teams how to play the modern game, and what Limerick, I suppose, have done now, bringing it to another level. Like, the game is, you know, it's an unbelievable place. So I think just to, you know, have the referees a little bit more understanding of what's happening on the field. While yes, simulation has increased, I just think maybe, you know, it could be controlled a little bit more from an administration perspective.
It will be fascinating to see how that evolves. But looking at the season overall, I suppose it's Limerick have been the standard bearers, Johnny, and, like, the big question now for, I suppose, everyone going into 2022, can they be stopped?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Like Willie said about Ballyhale, you're looking at the greatest. You know, there'd be plenty of arguments out there for the greatest team of all time. But, like, as regards Limerick's story and their journey, it's phenomenal. And, you know, and I suppose it's again, you know, if we go back to our start of our conversation, talking about preparation, talking about physical side of things, and I suppose Limerick kind of laid that foundation way back, you know, and you know, it had Leo O'Connor and you know, back with the minors that time, and the Dante Daly headed the academy. So, like, they were ahead of the head of the curve a good bit, you know, at the start, to, you know, to develop these players and get this team going. And then Paul Kinnear came in and just added another dimension. And, you know, I would, you know, with no disrespect to John Kiley and what he has done, but what Paul Kinnear has done there has you know, manufactured a culture that's unbreakable at the moment. And you know, from the you know, a couple of years ago, Aaron Gillan was the main man. Now to kind of Seamus Flanagan picking up that role, you know, their adaptation to the tactical side of things, you know, to be able to change their game when needs be, you know, to, you know, have deep line runners coming from defence. You know, they're just an awesome team. Like, it's a story that I can't see ending that quickly now, to be honest. You know, there is a couple of teams out there now that could be equipped tactically to come up against them, but you have to have a lot of boxes ticked to cover all the bases with Limerick, you know.
Willie, last year we were on this and we were picking a team of the year, and I think it ended up being 14 or 15 Limerick players, like the All-Stars as well. They dominated them, really. And, like, if you're looking back in 2021, you can't have any complaints, really, of the how Limerick dominated, I suppose, the All-Stars so much in 2021.
Yeah, I think we had 14, didn't we, as regards. Yeah. So the three guys that missed out with the All-Stars were very disappointed to lose out because they were so good. Like, you look at Nicky Quaid, as you know, he's an unbelievable keeper who's changed, I suppose. You know, he's driven the puck out strategy execution from another level as well. So look, I think Limerick are in a, I think Limerick are only starting, and that sounds you know, it's scary, anonymous for every other county, because they're now 3 or 4 years into a senior setup, having come off the back of, as Johnny said, an underage development system to get the players to that physical level. Like they're only starting. They've a, you know, it's a relatively young team. They're hungry now, I suppose, to go where other Limerick teams have not gone before, and that's obviously the motivating piece here. That, you know, they see more All-Irelands there to be won. Tactically, they're way ahead of everybody else. They've redefined how they play the game, which has in turn redefined the way the game is played. And I think it'll be interesting to see who actually comes up with a way of playing, whether it's a Tip, whether it's a Kilkenny, whether it's a Cork, Galway, whoever. Like, I think teams have to focus on a way of playing themselves to try to hurling always evolves. I think the game, you know, over the last Kilkenny brought it to another level during the noughties. Tip matched them and beat them then. And then, the game is ever evolving. And I think it'll be interesting to see who evolves next or who gets there. But I think it's anonymous at the moment, because I'm just, I can't see anyone beating them.
And Johnny, like, teams have obviously struggled against Limerick. Do you feel maybe teams are focusing too much on Limerick rather than focusing on their own performances or coming up with something new? Like, we haven't really seen Limerick being brought into, I suppose, a shootout apart from that Munster final where they did come back against the dead against Tipperary.
Yeah, like, that's like, apart from that blip in the thing, it's like, I suppose the new thing now within the county level is teams are trying to find a clear identity. And I suppose, from my point of view, at inter-county level, you know, there can't be one just clear identity. There has to be, I suppose, you boil down to multiple personalities within your setup as regards your system of play. And, you know, I think the team that comes up with that kind of scenario, that's not a one-trick pony. Like, I felt this year the Tip were very one-dimensional, and you know, when they came up against Waterford, you could see the clear difference in how Waterford were playing over the last 5-6 years. And, you know, their short game was so crisp and fast, and their technical ability was 40 or 50% ahead of Tip. And Tip tried to play the same game and was too slow. They didn't have the runners off the shoulder. You know, again, we're coming back to a conditioned team that's conditioned at the highest level, that's able to get up and support the players and to be able to play that deep. You know, a deep 13, and then attack with an 8, and then get back with another 8. It's coming up. I think Waterford are one of those teams that could match Limerick as regards the tactical setup, the physical side of things, as regards speed and support play, and you know, swarming players and shutting down areas and zones. You know, I think Galway, I'm not sure, you know, again, can they adapt? They're very traditionalist, you know, and it's, I suppose, a little bit of hurling snobbery in these strongholds as well, I suppose, to kind of put it lightly, is that, you know, the traditional way of the long ball, and yes, that's going to be part of the game, and you know, there's going to be a clever tactician out there that's going to come up with a new dimension to that, that's going to add things to the inter-county setup. But I think you have to be, you know, you have to be across the board. You have to be able to play several different ways and be able to play that at the highest level possible. And, you know, at the moment, I think Waterford are one of those teams. Wexford under Davy Fitz were similar, could play that type of game. And maybe, I think, you know, with Liam Cahill there, I think that Waterford might be the team just to put it up to Limerick on that side of things.
Willie, you mentioned teams maybe doing something different. Is there one particular thing you think the teams can do different to maybe try and contain Limerick somewhat?
Yeah, well, I think it's getting away from the containment piece as regards and trying to plough your, I suppose, a new way of playing. Limerick have, I suppose, mastered. They can go long, they can go short, they can do whatever. So I think the move needs to be, as Johnny mentioned there, from the, I suppose, the so-called traditional counties need to come up with a Kilkenny way of playing, or a Tipperary way of playing, or a Galway way of playing. And I suppose ultimately, you know, being able to get over the hurdle that is Limerick at the moment, because again, you look for weak points in Limerick, and there are few. We looked at the All-Stars and how three of their players were unlucky not to get them. But, like, you know, a different guy comes up every day because they're playing. And again, it's a lot to do with Paul Kinnock's coaching as regards that he has evolved this way of playing, having previously been in Clare and obviously coached them to an All-Ireland, but also having coached all their younger players with the last batch of quality as the most successful Clare players. But it's a very defined way of playing, long or short, whatever that is, and players playing the 5 or 6 yards ahead of them and knowing what's on. So, like, if teams sit players on the D, that Limerick will rarely poke the ball long to that person. They'll work it through the line to the best outlet, with so many runners, with so much athleticism, with so much quality, that again, it's up to the teams to move from the traditional. Like, I think counties have been reacting to what Limerick are doing for the last 2 or 3 years, and some teams haven't done really anything. They've focused on just this is the way we play, and whether that's through hurling snobbery, I don't know. But it's trying to find, as I said, a Tipperary identity or a Kilkenny identity, and really honing in on that, and seeing what the resources that you have available. Because look, there's quality players in all these counties. And I just think it will be very interesting. And the coach that comes up with it, I suppose, will, you know, hurling will evolve again, and there's absolutely no doubt about that. But I just think it'll be very, very difficult to beat Limerick. I think it's interesting that Cork, yeah, they got to the All Ireland last year, but the addition of someone like Pat Mulcahy to the backroom team, you know, Pat. What I'm hearing from players that would have hurled through Fitzgibbon with CIT, that he's, you know, very, very adept at coaching and teaching you know, players to find new ways of overcoming current systems. So I think that's a very shrewd appointment from a Cork perspective, with all the players they have coming as well, with minor and under 21 teams. That will be a watch this space. I think Waterford, I suppose, Noel Leem very well down there, look, has done a phenomenal job with where they are now. And you know, can they make that final push to catch Limerick? I don't know, but I do know that, you know, it won't be for lack of trying, effort, innovation with himself and Mikey Beavens, you know, quality coaches. I think someone will come up with something, but I think it's trying to move away from, you know, three-man full back lines and picking your 3-3-2, 2-3-3 formation. I think that there's still a kind of a win that hurling snobbery piece, and having been to a lot of matches in Tipperary again in the last couple of years, particularly, you know, guys, there's still a roar from the sideline when a ball goes short 2 or 3 times in a row. Lads are letting puck it long, but again, there's no point poking it long if you have 4 or 5 defenders under it. So I think there has to be a shift in mindset first before you can shift the way you play.
And even Johnny, some of the points Willie raises it there, like, it's just that, I suppose, the intensity that Limerick bring in a tackle. You could almost nearly picture it when Willie was talking there of the Will O'Donoghue's, the Sean Finns, the Garage Hegarty's, the Tom Marcy's, like, such a huge emphasis placed on turnovers, really.
Yeah, and, you know, and I suppose the key, that, well, I suppose the buzzword over the last 3 or 4 years being work rate is key, you know. And I'm not sure on that, you know. I think there's loads of other aspects of the game that, you know, you can get your intensity levels up, and yes, but you need to have that technical, that tactical side of things. There's no point in having 15 or, you know, 14 outfield players running around like headless chickens, you know, running after players and turning over ball, and then, as Willie said, the big call comes, launch it up to the inside line, and next thing it's turned over, and it's a score against you. So I think that intensity, you know, work rate, and then what happens next is the key that needs to be covered. But Limerick concentrate on what happens next. You know, they get the bodies, they get the numbers, they have the athleticism, they have the fitness, they have the runners on the outside, they have the outlets, they have the out ball, you know, they have their offensive system off to a tee. If they don't hit a direct pass, it's a 60-40 or a 70-30 into space that you know, it's an advantage for Flanagan or Gillan, whoever's in that zone, you know. And then to have support players coming from deep and you know, they can offload outside. So, you know, it's matching that intensity is one aspect of it, and that work rate. But, you know, if what happens next is great, getting the roar from the crowd and having that turnover, and you plant your right foot and you launch the ball, and the next thing is come back over your head just as quick and ends up in the back of the net. So I think that's where teams have to try and go, is to try and, you know, match that intensity and get that work rate. But what happens next is a lot of teams kind of get lost in the emotion of the game and don't recycle or you know, be composing the ball after winning that brilliant turnover. And then, you know, as Willie said, you could be in Croke Park with the 20,000 people showing you hit it up, and it goes up and goes back over the bar. So that turnover counts for nothing. So I think that's the aspect of the game that a lot of teams need to concentrate on is that, yes, get the intensity up, match the work rate, but then what happens next?
And just to finish on Limerick, like, I don't want the podcast to just be all about Limerick's dominance, but Willie, the strength of the panel, Peter Casey done his ACL there, he's going to be out for the start of the year, and like, you could quite easily see a Graham Mulcahy, a David Dempsey, a Pat Ryan easily slot into that starting 15. It's just showing the strength, and even like, you're looking at Colin Coughlin and Cathal O'Neill broke onto the scene this year, and with their conditioning, they didn't even look out of place on the senior intercounty team.
Yeah, I think and the conditioning certainly is one piece to their dominance. Going back to the point, you can't run a successful team on emotion. They have to, you know, like the hurling, yes, is a very emotional game as regards very passionate, very, you know, people are, you know, putting their head where you wouldn't put a hurl, and they're, you know, jumping on the ball and they're creating turnovers and all those things. But you have to know, I suppose, how to play from there. And Limerick seem to be able to, and with those, I suppose, newer players that could potentially come in next year, they're all very well versed on how they play. You couldn't really see weaknesses in their team, but I think, look, it'll be up to somebody to come up with something as regards to just to have the confidence to develop, as I said, an identity, a way of playing, and then matching that with obviously your athletic development, with your tactical nous, with your strategy, with your, I suppose, emotional. Make sure that the players are mentally in the space to prepare at the level they are. And Limerick seem to have, supposed to have ticked all the boxes and have put structures in place. Sorry, more than tick the boxes, but put a system in place for each of those different ways that pillars of, I suppose, of how they perform. So I think, it will be, it's certainly interesting. I think the way the championship is now, and as I said, we've had, you know, fantastic championships, albeit behind closed doors and restricted attendances over the last couple of years. But look, hopefully we get over this latest, I suppose, COVID hurdle, and we get back to doing what we all love and watching and playing and being involved in these games is part of who we all are. And I think that's been taken away a little bit over the last 2 years as regards we haven't being able to do that. So look, I suppose, again, going back to the Limerick thing, very, very strong. They look odds on, but hurling and life and sport has a habit of throwing up things that we don't expect, and somebody will come with something. And there is a few teams with Waterford, Tip, Galway, Clare. Like, there's a lot of teams there that potentially could do something. Cork. So I think the team that comes up and actually goes and does it and finds their Corkness or whatever that looks like, that they're the team to challenge. But at the moment, Limerick look so comfortable.
Willie, you mentioned on the Cork management team shakeup, I suppose the big one there is Conor Inan has returned to the Cork panel.
Yeah, look, sure, he's a quality player, and I saw a comment after the county final. I don't know, was it the middle? That was Ger Fitzgerald or whoever it was, or it was Ben O'Connor, that Cork have 20 or 15 better forwards in their panel than Conor Lehan. That, you know, we're not seeing them. So I think, look, he's a really good player, and it'll be interesting. We actually played them with Venice Bridge, who played Middleton this year, and you know, quality team, and you could see that there were the quality of the players that they have, and the Cork are starting to produce, but ultimately failed against Kilmallock, and that, I suppose, that physical nature of Kilmallock were in their faces. They were playing a different type of hurling, and Middleton weren't able to play their less confrontational style with them, and it came back, and I think that's Cork's issue. I think they just need to probably adjust to where the game has gone in the last couple of years, particularly where Limerick are pushing it. And, you know, that non-contact game won't get over the line when you're playing teams as outstanding as the Limerick lads.
And Johnny, Conor Lamb's obviously released and now he's being brought in back in. I suppose the role he's going to play is that's what's probably going to intrigue people most looking into this year.
Yeah, and you know, I suppose we're talking about one player and we had mentioned earlier on as well, like I suppose we do forget with Cork. I suppose we're looking back in Cork's performances over the last two or three years of senior level, but you know, 221 All-Irelands you know, in a row. They've got that, they seem to have got that underage structure back up and running, right? So I'd be nearly more interested to see what comes from that group and what will come in from there along with Conor Lamb to see where he'll end up. Like the club championship, you know, was, you know, as Willie said, you know, Páirc Uí Chaoimh and, you know, like Croke Park, it's, you know, different kind of a game. And it'll be interesting to see how Cork adapt. My big question mark over Cork is, you know, probably, you know, a bit controversial enough, but a bit of backbone is probably the key word in that. You know, I felt it to be missing a little bit of backbone. Can Conor add that? I think he'll add confidence to the players and to the group and to the management team. You know, I think they still have an awful lot of work to do across the board to bridge that gap. There could be the team that come from the back end of things and surprise us all by that team that really puts it up to Limerick. Probably could be well equipped with the success they've had, but as we all know, that underage success doesn't guarantee it at senior level. But you know, and I'm sure everybody in Cork is delighted that Conor is back on board, and you know, I suppose he's a point to prove to himself, and he does put back on that jersey.
And as well, Johnny, Owen Cadigan's retired. Colm Spillane has to, I suppose, sadly retire just due to injuries. Like, there's definitely, I suppose, maybe positions there now for some of these under 20 players to break onto this Cork team.
Yeah, there is. And like, we've seen the under 20 games this year, like their style of hurling, and they had that little bit of, they could bring the ball into contact and get out of it, and they can still play the technical side of things as well. And you know, they're really well coached, and they were a joy to watch. I just think if they could bring, you know, four or five of those guys in and just bed them into that setup and get that missing cog that's missing there. Like, there will be places all up for grabs, and I suppose the people in Cork will be, you know, they'll be talking about this success, and it's not going to be too far down the road before we get, you know, we have the senior success. But it generally never materializes like that. So I think they have the right man over them with Kieran Kingston. I think he's going to be, he's a job in his hands. And we talked about the backroom team, you know, really clever appointments there, which is going to really add to the whole thing. So I think Cork will be going more so on the collective side of things rather than concentrating on individual talent this year.
And Willie, just with I suppose a county we haven't mentioned yet, just kind of looking into the Munster Championship, Clare, it's obviously massive for them to get Peter Duggan back for this year.
Yeah, look, we saw, I suppose, that the season he had before he went, and the importance he was to their attack. It took the burden off, I suppose, playing Tony Kelly in the forward line. Like, if you had Peter Duggan there as well, you'd have, you know, on top of what's there at the moment, I think you'd have a fairly serious forward line. I suppose back to Johnny's point, and it's very important to bring through quality young players when they're ready to go, and that takes a lot of confidence from a manager to put his faith in, you know, a 19, 20, 21 year old. But that's ultimately what you have to do. And I think we'll say, look, Clare, although they've been poor underage for the last couple of years, you know, like other counties, that there's surely a, you know, 19, 20, 21 year olds Cork with the most of them, but they have to be introduced to develop them. I think you look at the Tipperary situation as regards having won two under 20 and an under 21 All-Ireland 3 or 4 years ago at this stage. Like, we didn't bring through those players, and I suppose the question now is, is it too late for a lot of those guys? I don't know, but you need to develop them as well, and part of their development is playing. And I think it will be interesting to see, again, the new players, and again, it takes a lot of confidence from a manager to do that. But Cork, I suppose, are in that position to do it. Waterford, look, have infused a lot of younger lads. You look at Jack Daly there, straight in centre back, I think, as a 19-year-old. Like, that's a lot of confidence from Liam to give him. And it worked. And I think with Ty De Burka coming back for Waterford, that'll be a huge addition. Pádraig Mahony potentially as well, getting a good club season now under his belt to have himself ready for the summer next year. I think, look, it is enticing with a lot of these counties and what they're doing. But for young players, they have to be playing to develop.
Just you mentioned your own county there, really, Tip. Colin Bonner's obviously in, but he has said in an interview that he wants to find maybe some Tipperary players there and in necessarily hurling strong goals in some areas in Tip. Does that make you think, I suppose, maybe with Brendan Mair retiring as well, that there has to be, I suppose, maybe a sprinkling of youth in this Tipperary team?
I think so. I think it will be... it will be interesting. Look, I genuinely haven't watched the Tipperary Championship closely as regards going across a good few matches last year as well. There's a lot of quality players in Tipperary, and that's, I suppose, where I know most. I suppose it's they have to be given a go. I suppose that's the big thing. But they have to be set up and played in a way that that modern hurling is now. And again, picking a traditional full back line or picking, you know, a traditional three-man full forward line, that doesn't really happen anymore. And, if that's the situation, I suppose you have to adapt on the day. And I think the teams that infuse the youth but give them away and a very clear message, a clarity on how you want them to play, that's a successful way of doing it. So I think that, look, there's loads of hurlers in Tipperary. Yeah, we haven't, I suppose, won the All-Ireland now since 19. There's a lot of older players after retiring, as you said, and it will be a new team that gets Tipperary to compete for the big honours, and that will take a lot of confidence from the manager.
Just coming to you first, Johnny, before we have a look briefly at the Leinster Championship. If there is one team maybe that you feel that can challenge Limerick in this Munster Championship, who do you think it'll be?
Yeah, as I said earlier on, I think it'll be Waterford. Just going on the experience of what they've done, how they can play and how they can adapt their physical condition and bit of experience. We've already said with Cork, if Cork can get that little bits and pieces right, they could come strong from one side as well. But I just think maybe tactically, definitely, and physically, Waterford are the team to maybe put it up to Limerick and Munster at the moment.
And Willie, what's that one team for you that you feel can challenge Limerick?
I'd like to say someone different, but I think Waterford have proven themselves to be that. Exciting. They're playing a certain type of game at the moment. Yeah, I think they'll be there thereabouts. I think, look, Cork with all the underage, if and quality, I suppose that's the big piece. You saw the job Pat Ryan did with the under-20s the last 2 years. You know, they've two winning teams now. As I said, they've added Pat Mulcahy to the management team. They're very they've been the All-Ireland last year with I think Waterford, I think Cork could do something as well. I think, look, there has to be probably a bounce in Galway as well. Although, you asked me to pick one team and I'm picking three or four. But I think Henry surely will get a bounce off Galway. Lots of quality hurlers there. And if he sets them up in a way that suits them, I think that... you go back to the All-Ireland semi-final 2 years ago with Limerick and Galway and Croke Park. Galway, we're thereabouts for long periods in that match. And I think, I think Galway could do something if Henry gets a bounce off them.
Yeah, Johnny, Willie mentions, I suppose, Henry Shefflin and over Galway this year. And, like, being from Galway, there's a real buzz around the county at the minute and trying to be expected, I suppose, with a player who was so good in the game to come in over Galway this year.
Yeah, no, look at Henry's, he has it he has the medals, he has all the accolades that are needed, you know, with Ballyhale, and then he's was with Thomastown this year as well. But I suppose personally myself, I'm not sure whether it was the right move for Henry. As you probably know yourself, in Galway, they're a very unforgiving group of people sometimes, you know, and that's, you know, they want success and success, you know, instantly. I thought maybe Davy Fitz would have been a good fit maybe for an All-Ireland or two over the next 2 or 3 years, you know, with his proven record and, you know, what he brings to a setup. Henry, you know, like Eddie Brennan, Eddie went into Laois, did a great job. He's up and cooling now as a coach. You know, Michael Fennelly's in an Offaly. You know, and I suppose you're talking about three guys there that potentially could be the successor to Brian Cody whenever Brian decides to give up the Kilkenny job. But I think, yeah, I think Willie's right. I think there will be a bounce in Galway. I'm not sure if Henry's the right fit for Galway. I think Davy Fitz would have been maybe the man for me that would have got them across the line and be able to change. And, you know, they would have become real challengers to me then for the likes of Limerick, because, you know, they could have adapted their game again to be able to bridge that gap. But I definitely think there will be a bounce in them. I'm still not sure on it. You know, and I suppose the early stages of the league will probably get a clear sign of what way Henry is going to go about things, and again with the talent they have from all these All-Ireland winner minors and under 20s, you know Jeff Linsky and Brian Hanley have done super work there in the background, you know, bringing these groups together, and it'll be interesting to see. Again, we're going on, you know, those 4 or 5 new fellas that are going to step in and add that energy to the group, and, you know, to have those, you know, the lads that are coming toward the end of their career, to give them that extra bounce and that feeling again to be able to go at it as hard as they did when they first stepped into the scene. So I think there's a lot of bits and pieces that need to be put together throughout the coming season for us to really see where Galway is going to end up. You know, Henry, no doubt of what he's going to bring, but, you know, I suppose he needs to full back and buy-in from every single player in Galway, and to have the best possible group of players he can have at his disposal to be able to challenge, you know, Limerick.
And Willie, I suppose, I think it's around the bank holiday weekend, the key game in this Leinster Championship. It's probably going to fascinate all Hurling supporters. Brian Cody coming up against Henry Shefflin.
Yeah, I think, look, isn't it great to be looking forward to matches like that? I think it's in Salt Hill as well. I think, look, it'll be great as regards as a spectacle. But I also think as a contest, and it'll just be interesting to see. We know how Kilkenny, I suppose, will set up under Brian Cody. But like, it'll be interesting to see, I suppose, what Henry brings to the Galway setup with Richie O'Neill as his coach. You know, really good coach as well. Damien Joyce, you know, top. Galway have assembled, I suppose I'm in Galway here at the moment, and I can appreciate the excitement with that type of management team, with the types of players that Galway have. I think that'll be fantastic. Also, the first round in the Munster Championship, I think, is equally between Tip and Waterford in Waterford. You know, it'll be great to get back to those types of games, but I think it'll be great to see them as spectacles, but also to see how the respective managers set them up, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Willie, you could hear people that maybe in Kilkenny, they were nearly bitter in one sense when Henry Shefflin got this job, that I suppose maybe Kilkenny wanted to keep him involved in some capacity.
Yeah, you'd imagine like there would have been a conversation if that seemed to be the feeling, all right. But I'm sure that there was some back channel somewhere that, you know, that Henry asked the question, lads, do you want me? And they obviously didn't. So he went to Galway, and I think that's it's very much Kilkenny's loss as regards with the quality of achievement as Henry as a player and as a manager more recently. So I think it's interesting. It's Kilkenny have gone a long time now without an All Ireland, and the pressure is on there to deliver something. So it's certainly a season from their perspective where they have to do something. They changed slightly the way they play last year, They went a bit shorter. They went a bit more, I suppose, prescribed, and there was less long ball being played into, I suppose, full forward line. So I think, it's certainly something that as a Kilkenny, as a Tipperary man living in Kilkenny, there's a lot of frustration there at the moment, and I suppose that comes from a perceived 5 or 6, 7 year gap without winning All Ireland.
And Johnny, like Willie did mention the frustration there in Kilkenny, and like it's unusual to think, but in the last few years, I suppose in them All Ireland semi final crunch games, Kilkenny just really haven't been good enough and have came up short. So it's a massive year for Kilkenny.
Yeah, no, it's huge year. Every year is a huge year for Kilkenny because, you know, Brian Cody has you know, kind of, you know, built something there now that, you know, success is expected now. And, you know, every year to go out, they're still talked about as being, you know, winning on Ireland. Personally, I think they're a couple of steps away from that at the moment. I'm not sure, you know, I know my own county, Westmeath, you know, they're playing them in round one of Leinster, and it'll be a difficult day. And you know, but again, that's, you know, players in Westmeath, that's what they live for, you know, days like that, you know, sort of turning out against teams like that. But, you know, going back to Kenny, it's really, I'm not sure if I've seen them being able to bridge that gap enough to be able to challenge the likes of Limerick. I still think there's a little bit missing there. Again, you go back to the underage and you know, I suppose, look at that Ballyhale team and the few players in that and the age profile. And, you know, they're looking to bring those in and to really try and get something going from that success. And as I said, a lot of counties have had that underage success, but it hasn't transpired into the senior panel with an influx of players. Maybe, you know, Limerick are just one, maybe from a handful of guys who stepped up. And, you know, Galway, going back to them as well. And Kilkenny just don't seem to have that caliber. You know, you're talking about the TJs and the Henrys and these guys coming through. So, or, you know, they're gone past that, are, they haven't had them replacements. And I suppose that's kind of key as well. And then, you know, traditionalists and the style of hurling, as Willie says, to change your game. As I said, the likes of Waterford, who have, you know, for the last 6, 7 years, you know, going back to Derek McGrath, have this system of play, you know, they have it in their bones. It's there, you know, and it takes time to get that set in. And, you know, Kilkenny is going to need a bit more time to be able to adapt and change to what's happening around them. And I've no doubt they will. But, you know, you just can't turn it on overnight. It's a process that does take a little bit of time. They'll still look at, they're going to be there, thereabouts. No team is going to want to face Kilkenny in an Ireland semi-final or an Ireland final with a tradition behind them. But, you know, Leinster is, you know, the round robin system in Leinster, I think, is really good for the development. And, you know, I suppose you can't look past Kilkenny and Galway, probably with Wexford and on the outside of that, and maybe Dublin then as the fourth team in that. But it'll be a good championship, I think, as Willie said. Really looking forward to all these games. You know, it's just brilliant to have these. You know, there's so many top, and hurling has really been the winner over the last 2 or 3 years. You know, it's been excellent standard. Games have been fantastic. Even the club championship this year has been brilliant. So, you know, we're looking hopefully for much of the same in 2022.
And Willie, just on, coming to you actually first, Johnny, just on Dublin, obviously a successful enough year last year, Leinster final, and they probably will look back and be frustrated, I suppose, them COVID cases just coming at the wrong time to key players. But like, there's, as you mentioned, there's definitely good enough players, and maybe even some of these Nafina players will break on and could be a huge difference in this Dublin team this year.
Yeah, no, I think that's, you know, Dublin, again, probably a county that has underachieved at inter-county level. You know, Matty Kenny has had huge success with Coola. You know, again, you know, the same as, you know, the players are there. It's, and as Willie said earlier on, you know, I suppose you only can work with the tools that you've got, but you have to make those work to your advantage. And Dublin, I suppose, they're still kind of honing in on the marquee forward. You know, Danny Sutcliffe being kind of the key player. You know, there's loads of other top players there, and I suppose they need to get a better spread in that part of the field for things to really, like, you know, Liam Rush has kind of been changing and adapting between a 6 and an 11 and even a 14 at times. So it really is for Dublin to find that extra little bit of talent. something new, something different, that's going to add something, another 10-15% next year. Because look, they were there, thereabouts, but at the end of the day, you know, they were beaten in the Leinster final, and that's the only thing that's going to matter at the end of it. So to bridge that gap, they're going to need to find three or four more players to add, especially to their forward unit. Defensively, always very good, athletic, you know, well conditioned. You know, Matty's a brilliant coach, an excellent manager. So, you know, he'll get the best out of them. But I suppose they need the best of what's in Dublin there for that to happen.
The forwards there, Johnny?
From what I've seen, and you know, I'm sure Willie would agree. You know, there's forwards in every club. You know, they're top class, and I suppose it's identifying them, developing them, bringing them in, getting them in at the right time. You know the culture, all that sort of stuff has to change. I've seen it, you know, the last couple of years in Dublin, some absolutely top class players, like, and you know, but not every player wants to play inter-county hurling, and you know, they're happy enough to play at club level, and that's the way it is. But I suppose that with the vast numbers they have in Dublin, they really do have to spread out the net and find these players. And you know, it's no different, same here in Westmead, you know, trying to find the best of what you've got, and not just looking straight ahead to 2022. You have to be looking ahead to 2024. You know, groups need to be developed differently, come at different times. But you know, it's, and we said it earlier on, there's so many players that fall between the two stools, like especially between under 20 and senior, that, you know, we talked about those players in TIP, you know, haven't been given the opportunity under 20 level. Can you get them back? Are they gone too far now in development? Can you bring them back and get them back in? You know, Cork, can they learn the lesson and bring those in? You know, can all the teams, you know, get those lessons and learn them and bring in these four or five key players and make sure that they're not gone into the wilderness of, you know, the gap between 20 and adult senior hurling. So that's the key task I think every county has at the moment, to try and make sure that talent is kept on board and developed, you know, not for 2022, but 3, 4, 5. That's key.
And Willie, just on, I suppose, Wexford, another contender for this Leinster Championship, Darragh Egan, a Tipperary man coming in there. But I suppose the interesting thing here is there going to be a major shift, do you think, in Wexford's style this year?
I don't know. I think, again, it's something that that Wexford had a very defined way of playing over, I suppose, under Davy there for 5 or 6 years. And I suppose very, you know, they had a comfort with it as regards that they were successful with a certain way of playing. So it'll be interesting to see from a coaching and a clarity piece from the new management team of Wexford, to see can they, you know, get the players on board that they want, number one, and get them playing the way they want to play the game. It'll be difficult, I think, to change. That Wexford group have gone from, I suppose, not winning anything to winning a Leinster final, competing with Tipperary potentially to get to an All-Ireland 19, which they could have won and should have won probably. But, you know, by playing a certain way, and it'll be interesting to see if they stick with that or whether they try to evolve that or what they do. I suppose back to the last point, and Johnny, there's definitely hurlers in Dublin. It's something that, I suppose, having had a close look from being involved in two club championships with Coola and being involved with Dublin Minors back in the day as a coach, there is something there, and it's a case of, I suppose, they were very unfortunate last year when you look at the COVID situation. You know, they beat a good Galway team in the semi-final, and you know, COVID potentially robbed them of their chance to compete on the day. So I think, yeah, Leinster is very competitive. The pressure's on Kilkenny. Galway could potentially get a bounce. Wexford will be, you know, they will get a bounce from Dara, you know, a top coach. Willie Cleary there, top man as well, with Gorey the last couple of years. They're, you know, they've put together a really good backroom team there as well, and Dublin then as well, to see where they go. So Leinster is, you know, it's competitive. The pressure is on to deliver, and I suppose that's what makes hurling so that we're looking forward to it so much.
And just on Wexford, Willie, I suppose there's frustrations, I suppose, towards the latter stages of Davy Fitzgerald's tenure, when I suppose they did have the forwards there to maybe hit the ball inside, but they opted to go with this running game. But with some of the hurlers, like your Lee Chins, Conor McDonald's, do you think maybe we might see more directness up front towards Wexford?
I think so. I think, you know, you mentioned two there. You put Rory O'Connor in there, put Jack O'Connor. You have a good bit of quality there as well. And I think the traditional Wexford hurling fan would like them to go more direct, I suppose. And that's the trying to find that sweet spot as regards between going short and having that success with that group of players. But and now trying to, I suppose, to evolve to go to take it to the next level will be look. It won't be easy in a very competitive environment. But I think with Dara there and the management team that I mentioned there, look a lot of quality there as well. And I think no, it'll be certainly interesting because the I suppose there's nothing like being at the Leinster final a couple of years ago with I think it was 67,000 people with Galway and Wexford. When Wexford come, they really do, and it's they're an exciting prospect in full flow. And I think, yeah, they could be there or thereabouts. But it's, again, the thing with Wexford is finding that balance of, you know, between the running game, between the short game, and also going long with the quality of the players that we mentioned up front that they have.
Johnny, you mentioned earlier on your own county, Westmeath and Laois. They'll obviously have hopes of taking a scalp, but do you think they will be looking in one sense that a bit like Laois Antrim last year, that this game between Laois and Westmeath is probably going to be the survival game between both teams to survive in this Leinster Championship?
Yeah, no, it's extremely difficult. You know, the Championship itself, even last year, Antrim had a really exciting season and they were very good across the board. But, you know, they ended up back down into the Joe McDonough, like, you know, and now they have to fight their way back up again to get to that level again, to be able to compete at that level. You know, like, Dublin are playing Laois in the first round, Westmeath are playing Kilkenny. So, you know, Laois got one over Dublin a few years ago in a great game in Moore Park. And, you know, they're kind of living on the back of that since, you know, I know the change of manager with Chadder Plunkett in there now. And Westmeath as well now with Joe Fortune in there in Westmeath. So, you know, both those managers are going to be looking to, you know, I suppose Westmeath going first of all, probably their main goal is to get out of Division 2A. You know, that's probably going to be one of their top targets to do that. And then, you know, into a Leinster Championship, you know, it'll be an unforgiving Leinster Championship. You know, last year they had some good performances against some of the top teams, but still shipped heavy defeats. And, you know, ultimately it got them across the line in a Joe McDonough. So, you know, there's an argument there for, you know, if Westmeath go out and ship those defeats or Laois go out and get beaten well, is it good enough for the development? As you said, it's going to come down to the game, the last game, round five, to see who stays up for another year and another crack at it or who goes back down into the Joe McDonough. So it's a difficult one to call, but there's no doubt about it, playing at that level and getting that amount of games in Leinster is really going to stand the development of that group of players in Westmeath, you know.
And Willie, I suppose, as Johnny has mentioned there, the development of these counties, it has been a good move by the Leinster Council maybe to add this sixth team in and to, I suppose, stop these teams from yo-yo and up and down, because it doesn't really help the development for either county.
No, you need to be playing, and it goes for young players. It goes for as a county's trying to, I suppose, to make that jump. You have to be playing games to develop, and you have to be playing games, you know, at the highest level. Hurling is, you know, you have your top teams. You have the next tier then as well. But like, you have to be playing games, and the only way to improve is very much to play those games. I think, yeah, it's the structure of the Championship at the moment with the Munster Championship obviously being traditionally strong and still very, very strong with the five teams there. I think Leinster has improved significantly in the last couple of years, but Kilkenny were the dominant team, and there was with the introduction of Galway a couple of years ago as well. I think, you know, Wexford, Dublin, you look at the Westmeaths, Carlow's, Laois. You have a lot of teams trying to make the next step, but the only way that step can be made is to be playing, I suppose, without the fear of just dropping down a level every second year and that yo-yoing effect that does nobody any good at all.
Johnny, just briefly on the Joe McDonough there's a huge opportunity this year for the two teams to get to the Joe McDonagh final. They'll enter the championship in the preliminary All-Ireland quarter-final against Third in Munster and Third in Leinster.
Yeah, and it's going to be a really competitive Joe McDonagh, because, and I suppose Offaly are up there now, and you know, you have Mead, Kerry and Down have played some really good hurling over the last few years as well, and then you have Carlow who've been there as well, and Antrim are back down into it. So you know, it's going to be a very, it's a competition, I find it's an excellent competition, because you know, teams are really well matched, and there's some super games. Or the ones probably that are highlighted the most, really, I suppose, on the Sunday game on a Sunday evening. But you know, if you're at these games, they're of the same caliber and level. The players train at the same level. They put in the same effort. Ultimately, they're looking to get up into the Lee McCarthy, and that's what that's the goal of every team that's in it. I suppose for me, the Joe McDonagh this year, I probably would tip Offaly to get to win it. And just going on the development of Offaly over the last few years, and what Mike Fenley has brought to the setup there in Offaly. Now Mead, my own club man, Nick Weir, is over Mead. He's brought in Davy Fitz's right hand man as a coach there in Mead as well. So they'll have a bit of a bounce as well, and they're super talented hurlers there. Kerry are always dangerous, new management team. You know, Carlow, you know, a really small hurling pocket in Carlow, a lot of work going in, a lot of success. And then I suppose you can't really look past Antrim with Darren Gleeson and everything he's done with them in the last few years has been exceptional. And they've been really, really good to watch as well. So I think it's going to be a really good Joe McDonagh. I said hurling at all codes, at all levels, is really, it's going to be exciting. And, you know, if these games were, again, put on the pedestal they should be put on, and given to, so that everybody could have a look at them. You know, we'd be talking about them in the same breath as some of the top teams in the top games in the championship later in the year.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how that emerges. Just to finish up, lads, Willie, coming to you first, if there's maybe one young player to make the breakthrough this year and to watch out for, who would you be looking at?
Yeah, it's. I think that the guys that played with Limerick last year came on in the All Ireland. I think it's something that Limerick seem to have. You know, their development structure has allowed their players to make the breakthrough. The big question for me, very much around the Cork thing, is are these players ready to move as regards like that? The one or two we saw from Limerick last year. It's very much, I suppose, depending on managers giving them the opportunity to play, and I'm sure that young players will emerge. But I think the physical nature of hurling and how it's developed over the last couple of years, like we rarely see that the guy going out from minor to senior now. So I think that's where the under 20 competition is best served. And I think Limerick probably are best placed with the players they brought through last year. Potentially, look, I think in Waterford, like said, Jack Daly, centre back. I think, look, you know, that kind of quality from a young fella will serve them well. And I think it takes a lot of courage for someone to give that young player the opportunity now.
Is there one player for you, Johnny, who could make it this year?
Well, again, I suppose we're going to play. I'll go in groups, and again, the Cork scenario really excites me. You know, that, well, just, I suppose, we all, the games they played in, at under 20 level really excited us all last year and the last couple of years, and they've been excellent. So, but I suppose there's only a little bit of a disparity, I suppose, in the tip template, maybe in the Limerick template. You know, sometimes when you hear managers saying, like, you know, I know Colin Bonner had set up games that had used to be played back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, trying to find this talent that they hadn't identified, you know, and that kind of is a slight worry in the way things are in tip, if you know, to try and find that talent, if they're spreading the net out like that to get internal games to find talent, and that talent wasn't identified 3 or 4 years ago. And what Willie said, you know, what development level is that player going to be at physically to come into an inter-county setup to be able to compete and go up against, you know, an A Limerick or a Waterford. So, you know, so the approaches of different counties kind of worry. The tip on the model is just a little bit worrying. I'm sure that they have talent, you know, talent scouts you know, that identify players of different grades and bring them into academy squads and so on. So I'd be a little bit worried to say if anybody fell through the net. I know they have a wide range of players right throughout the county, but I'd just be slightly worried on that side compared to maybe the Corks and the Limericks, who have these players identified 4 or 5 years ago and have them in a development process, and now they're integrated into a sub-senior setup, and then into the main senior setup as it goes along. So, you know, it'd be same here in Westmead. I'd be very concerned now if Joe Fortune was driving out wide out the net and having trial matches. That type of template shouldn't really be happening at senior inter-county level at this stage.
Willie, just on that, do you think that is worrying that Tip are looking at, like, the wider areas?
Yeah, I think looks. It was a noble motivation to try to find players, but it certainly would worry me. All right, that the player, you know, you didn't have an idea of the players that are there currently from club championship. From, you know, I think it was Donal O'Grady 10 or 15 years ago saying that you're not going to find a guy now in club hurling that will go straight into inter-county hurling. You might find one, but you're not going to find many. And I think it's particularly in winter conditions, heavy fields. Yeah, you'll see what's inside in a fella as regards from a character perspective. But at the same time, the way the game has gone now on the pitches that, you know, these players are playing on, be it in Cork or Dublin, like it's nothing like the muck and the dirt of this time of the year. So yeah, that would be a worry. But at the same time, on the other hand of all that, if one or two players are found from less fashionable clubs, it's a win. But I don't think, look, you know, I'm sure that the management team know what's there at their disposal, and that was probably more for optics than anything else to say they were widening the net. But at the same time, they I'm sure they know who the best 40-50 players are in Tipperary, and because look, from development squads, from Fitzgibbon, from club competitions, from everything, from schools, players are fairly well charted, and you have a fair idea of who's going to be available. So yeah, again, play match this time of the year, you're not going to find you'll see character, but you won't see the skills and the tools of the way the game has evolved on display.
No, the talent is definitely there in Tipperary. That's all on our hurling show today. Thanks a million for your time, lads.
Thank you.
No problem.